Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show, we have
Caitlin Duncan.
Yes, we do. Caitlin's a repeat guest, and it is such a great podcast today. She has a new course called From Chaos to Control, and it's about balancing work life, especially if you have little kids. It was a really great interview.
Yeah, we talked to her. She's very practical in her tips mm-hmm. and gives really good ideas. We talked to her about like how you balance mm-hmm. your work and your family. And we talked about systems and just like lots of different, very practical things, writing with little kids, dealing with guilt. And Jamie asked about like, if you don't have a supportive partner, you know, ways to be able to do your writing, get your writing in and handle all the home and family responsibilities as well. And it was just really good. We really enjoyed talking to her again. Her thing is called the From Chaos to Control method. And she has a course and a membership. So if you want somebody to come alongside you and do this too, there are people out there that are, they're doing this together, which is a lot of times that's what you need is like the support.
So. You need that community. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's coming up.
Right. Well, we have supporters. We have new supporters, don't we? We have Anne Seidel. Sorry, Anne. she is the little looking glass. And we have Hannah Byron, and she has the books. And so we just appreciate your support so much. Thank you very much.
Yes, we do appreciate it. And we're going to have a supporter meetup in October. We're planning for October 15th at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we'll put a post in the group. We're curious what you guys want to do. Like, do you want to do a Q&A? Do you just want to have discussion? Let us know.
Do you want
us
to bring somebody in?
Yeah, like do you want Claire
that one? We can try to get a guest in for that. And if there's somebody you'd like, you let us know. We want to make it worth your while. So please let us know.
Yeah, you're supporting us and we want to support you and help you and however you want to do that. So so let us know. We're curious.
Yeah.
And I think that's like all of our business list stuff. What do you have going on?
This week I am at NEENC. I mean, when this
podcast comes out,
I will be at NEENC, representing the podcast. And so actually this comes out on Wednesday, so NEENC will start on Wednesday night. So come find me if you're here and give me a hug and we'll have a drink and we'll talk to each other. I'd love that. And other than that, there's not a lot going on. I'm still the anniversary of my sister's passing is October 1st. And I've had, I don't know, just some weird, like last night I had this very weird dream. I'm having a hard time shaking it today. And not great, not a good one, not in a good way. And we talked yesterday, Sarah and I had lunch and she was like, you just seem so much better. And I am better in so many ways, but then in other ways, I don't think you ever get better. So, you know, if you're going through this or you have been through this, you know what I'm talking about. There's just like this well that is never okay.
The
water is always kind of tainted.
It's never going to, you're never going to get over it. But like you get through it somehow or something. I don't know how to say it, but it doesn't go away.
No, because everything sounds very trite. Everything sounds, and like I told Sarah yesterday that, you know, I am better, but then there's guilt with that too, because I'm like, should I be better? Like, didn't her life like require more sadness? I don't know. It's just, it's this very strange place. And I'm sure people who've been through it know exactly what I'm talking about. People who haven't been, thanks for being patient and listening to me. But anyway, I'm fine. I just, you know, it's just a weird time. Just a weird time. So I'm glad I'm going to Nink. I'm glad I'm going to get to see people and be around people. I'm looking forward to several of the talks. I think they're going to be really great. And Nink's always fun.
Yeah, so. Nink is a great conference. Mm-hmm. So So while you're at Nink next week, I'll be having FOMO.
I know. I'll be missing you.
So I will be here because I've already done like quite a lot of conferences and a lot of travel. And so I just decided that was enough for me for this year. So I'm at home, no more conferences for me, but I expect to hear all about it and everything that happens. And I don't have a whole lot going on this week except doing the Kickstarter fulfillment. I'm trying to use Shopify. So I'll let y'all know how that goes. There are certain apps that you can use and I'm working through getting everything set up on that. Okay. And I'm excited to start getting stuff out and I'm starting to get, like, you can see behind me, I've got like boxes of things that are coming in that, you know, I'm just kind of holding until I can, I haven't ordered the actual books yet. I've ordered proof copies. And so once I get those and know that, cause I changed the interior file, uploaded it, the final file. So I got to get the proof copies back on that before I can order the actual print copies.
Right.
And I feel like that's like the big thing. Once I get those, then everything else is going good.
Right. And this is why in our podcast last week, we talked about fulfillment and what kind of time frame. This is why you give a bigger time frame, because you got to do all these little steps and make sure that everything, you know, if people have paid money to your campaign, you want to make sure you're giving them the best product possible, you know?
Yes. And there's a lot of things that you can't finalize. Like if you offer up, some people will do like a custom interior for high backers. Like they'll be like, I will make this book just for you, or I'll change one character name to your name through the whole book.
Oh my gosh. So,
or like you have like your people who are in your acknowledgements and you have to get those names, change your interior file, re-upload it. And then and then I did some other stuff too. So that's why I was like, I'm going to order print copies just to make sure. So like that takes time, you know, and you can't do that until it's over, even though your book is done. You know, if your book is done, you still can't do that.
Right.
So, yeah. So just allow yourself way more time than you think you're going to need. I think later we may do a podcast just about fulfillment. I was thinking about that like everybody talks about like the planning and the running of the campaign, but fulfillment's something that's not really talked about that much. And that's so important. You know, that's what I'm learning is that that's the, with direct sales, that's like you have, that's the thing that you can do yourself. You can have drop shipping that will fulfill things for you. But if you give it that little extra special thing, like you put in an extra bit of swag or something, or, you know, like that just makes a difference. And people feel differently when they open things and they're like, oh, these are great. You know, different.
You give them an experience.
Different. It's part of the experience. So I think it's really important. But anyway,
That's great.
I'll let you know how that goes. And all right. Yeah. So that's like all I've got this week.
Me too. So let's get on with this interview because it really is great.
Yes. All right. So here is Caitlin. Well, today we're really happy to have Caitlin Duncan back. How are you, Caitlin?
Good. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. We're excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So let me read your bio and we'll get right into it. Caitlin Duncan is a multi-published author of adult and young adult fiction, and has ghostwritten over 40 novels for children and adults. When she's not writing, she's obsessing over many, many television series and hanging out on YouTube, where she shares her writing process and all things bookish.
Oh, I love that. Very good. Very good. Well, give us an update. What's been going on since you were on the podcast last August?
Wow. Last August. So I
know
I put out two books since then. So my, debut adult psychological thriller, Her Buried Lives, came out last October. And I put out The Successful Hybrid Author this past January 2023. Yeah. And I've also been working on more author services this year, working on like workflows and systems and processes. I've been working with a wonderful group of author moms because I feel for us author moms who are sort of trying to juggle it all plus a creative career. So yeah, lots happened.
Yeah. Great. Well, that is such a, like, it's a topic like juggling it all and doing it all and being in parenting while writing. That's like something that just comes up over and over again. And people are trying to find that way to balance it all. So I think people are going to be really interested in this topic. What's the most important lesson you've learned recently?
Most important lesson I've learned recently is to give myself permission to strategically quit. There's been a lot of things over the last year that, because going through this course and learning from myself and other author moms, just letting myself do the things that I need to be doing and say goodbye to the rest. It doesn't have to be a forever goodbye, but at least for a little while, so that I can do things I want to do. And through that, like, I've started Taekwondo as a late 30s woman. And I love it. And I also started crocheting. And these like hobbies really give me life. And I feel like for the first time in many, many years, like, I'm fully in control.
Oh, that's good.
What I'm doing. Yeah.
Well, give us the name of the course, because that is what we're going to talk about today. So
yeah, it's the From Chaos to Control Method course in community for published author moms, you know, or primary caregivers, I should say.
Yes.
But I'm coming at from a mom perspective myself. So that's sort of where I'm leaning towards. And we just sort of lean on each other and help out where we can. And it's definitely a unique sort of niche, because throughout the years, I found many writers groups and then many moms groups, but sort of melding them together has been difficult for me to find. And I've sort of had to piecemeal different situations to be able to to really connect.
Yeah. And in the true indie author fashion, if it's not there, we'll just make it ourselves.
Exactly. As we do, yes.
As we do. Well, you've talked about doing more author services. So has your business model changed? I mean, is that what you're changing to, or is it changed in other ways as well?
That's sort of what I'm changing to. It's been a slower process. My top two strengths are intellection and deliberative. If you're familiar with Clifton Strengths.
You got to think about it a while.
I got to think about it, and I got to wait till I'm ready to be able to do it. So I've been sort of thinking about my future. I've been in the publishing industry for 10 years this year. So I'm really, and because of my nonfiction books, I'm really interested in sort of, empowering authors in a sense, to be able to take control over their careers. And I feel like, you know, there wasn't as much transparency when I was coming up. So I'm happy to provide that where I can.
Yeah.
Nice. That's nice. Well, we always talk about lessons learned and mistakes. So how do you view mistakes, and how do you recover when things go wrong?
When it comes to mistakes, I have to say I used to be the person who would flip out over them because it was just too much. You know, I was at a point in my life a few years ago where I was just so incredibly stressed out and doing the hustle culture, and that doesn't work. So when it comes to mistakes, I don't regret anything specifically. You know, it's really dangerous for me to go back and be like, well, what if I knew this? But I learned from my mistakes, and I hope that through my mistakes and through my writing and services, I'm able to sort of give a little hack, a bunch of hacks to other authors who happen to be in that situation. Yeah. So I definitely learn from them, and it's super important to do that, or else you can just really get into a really dark state of that regret circle and
self-loathing, you know, just like, how did that happen? How could I let that happen? Yeah, you know, that whole thing. It's so counter, it's not productive at all.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's great. Well, tell us about From Chaos to Control method. I want to know the all of it. I mean, I am an empty nester, so thank God, because I do not think I could have done it with kids at home. I'm not, I mean, I can multitask, but things tend to slip when I do that. Yeah. So yeah, let me.
Yeah. I used to be that multitasker as well. And I think, it's sort of that jack of all trades mentality.
You know,
you're good at some things, but not great at others, one thing. So, this sort of goes through the process. So it's a self-study course with a community element. So the course kind of goes through looking at your why, your personal mission statement, your values. Mm-hmm. This is something that I actually learned in therapy, which really helped guide me a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of go over time blocking, seeing how much time you actually have versus, you know, how we want to stuff everything into a day. Mm-hmm. And also balancing children and school and your relationships and also yourself. So there's a big component of, like, I talk about buckets. So, like, we have the mom bucket, author bucket, work bucket. But then I talk about the you bucket, which I think a lot of us ignore. Mm-hmm. And that's where we can lose creativity. We can feel, over anxious or depressed, even. Any of these mental health issues sort of come from not refilling our wells. I know as authors, we talk about the creative well, but we need to fill our well. Like I said, I'm, doing Taekwondo now and crocheting and doing things for myself that I never thought I would. And it's actually really helped my productivity and keeping me, happy and sane when it comes to all of this. So we sort of go through all that. There's also which I think is unique to this course specifically, there's like a decluttering sort of element because last year I'm downsized and I moved way too many things into a smaller space. And I was extremely anxious and I went through a lot of decluttering methods and I read books and watched YouTube and I have just like, it's really changed my life. I've actually found more time in my day once I started decluttering. I wasn't picking up the things I don't want, shoveling them in other places, taking a day to be like, oh, now I need to clean out the basement. Mm-hmm. You know, I sort of got all that out of the way. And now I have time to do those things that I like to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spend a lot of time moving one pile from one place to another place. because I think, oh, well, I might need that. And that's tricky because then you end up with huge piles that you can no longer move from one place to the other.
Yeah. So. Exactly.
Did you have some sort of like hierarchy? Like, I might need this in the future, so I'm going to keep it. Or I definitely use this every day, so I'm going to keep it. How did you work through your stuff?
Does this bring me joy method?
Well, I have to say the bring me joy, the thing I don't agree with Marie Kondo is books, because she says totally disagree.
Yeah.
Books can stay. But when it comes to like a hierarchy, I really wanted to make my home functional. So, in like the smallest example would be like, I had six spatulas. Like, why do I need six spatulas? I know I need like two, and if I needed to buy another spatula for some instance, like, that's okay, in the future if I needed to. I do have sentimental boxes for each member of my family, so we can keep things that are very sentimental, but other than that, I just try to be very functional and just use what I use. So I the Tupperware situation, I know everyone has a million things at Tupperware, making sure they all have lids is just like a simple thing. And so I guess it's mostly functional. Anything that's functional stays functional or beautiful, because I do have, pictures and some decorations. I don't have a lot of like tchotchke clutter. Mm-hmm. Everything I look at on my walls or on shelves that is displayed is beautiful to me or it's functional. So
that's great.
Nice. Lovely. Yeah, I love that. Functional or beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you this. I got an email from a reader one time. I sent a newsletter and I mentioned like spring cleaning or something. And she said, I'm doing Swedish death cleaning. And I was, have you heard of this?
Yes, I have. I love it.
So yes. Yeah, that's like you clean and clear out, keeping in mind your relatives and family will have to go through everything after you die. So I was like, yeah, that really gives you a different perspective too.
It does. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. Typically it's done closer to retirement age, like that specific method. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of celebration. Like it's a great book. But I love the celebration aspect where you invite family over and you say like, you know, here are all my things and you share stories about your things so that, you know, when you inevitably go, you know, your kids aren't like, oh, this must have been special because my mom kept it.
Right.
And it may not have been special to your mom. It may have just been a thing she had. So like sharing stories and really just downsizing when you get to a certain age. I know a lot of people are, you know, sort of it's on trend, the minimalism and things like that, where people are doing it now, sort of like at a younger age. But, you know, I just think as long as it's functional and you're happy with your surroundings, then that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's talk a little bit more about just like work-life balance and like, what are some strategies that authors can use to implement better work-life balance? Because I think that's something that we all struggle with. We all say, you know, the to-do list never ends, you know, help us please.
Yeah, absolutely. So my biggest thing when going through this, so I, like I said, I was in therapy. I also worked with an executive function coach because I have ADHD, and the practices of really breaking down your life and processes has been like monumental for me. So I'd say if you're feeling stressed, overwhelmed, like I said, those buckets. So what are your main buckets in life? You know, I have a day job, I'm a mom, I'm an author, and then I have my me bucket. So looking at all of those things on top of what you value most. So what do you value most? Family, you know, friends, things like that. So looking at those buckets in terms of your values, and then you can really see the things that don't belong. So when you're, you know, especially now with so many things going on, like, you know, with selling direct and all these things with authors, it's like, I really need to think about jumping into that stuff now because of, you know, the size of my plate. So really just understanding a realistic schedule based on your values is like sort of where to start off. Mm-hmm. And then once you have all of those in place, I love the idea of automating and delegating as much as I can, because I know that I only have 24 hours in a day and I would like to spend some of that with my family and crocheting or doing Taekwondo writing. Mm-hmm. So I always look on ways to automate. I automate my vacuuming in my house. I have a robot vacuum, like silly things like that. Or even like sometimes I do grocery delivery because I just don't have enough time. Mm-hmm. And then when I feel so overwhelmed with different chores, I'll reach out to my husband and I'll see if, you know, he can handle that, because I used to be at a point in my life where like I had to do it all or I wasn't like a mom or a wife, you know, quote unquote. No one can see it. We're on audio, but so yeah, I would definitely look to automate and delegate. And then whatever you have left, I look at things like repeatable tasks, and I started this a lot with my author business because as an indie, it's a lot of rinse and repeat, you know, when it comes to publishing books, like the writing of the book, I got that down. The publishing, there's so many things to remember. The writing, or setting up newsletter automations. Those are like my first two that I really looked at in terms of systems. So I basically just created a step-by-step guide for myself. So every time I do automations, I bring up my Word doc and I can do it, you know, probably in an hour, where it used to take me like 4 hours. but I was like, how did I do so that smart. Again?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had to go look at tutorials and stuff like that. So realistically, scheduling based on values, automation, delegation, and system workflows are like my top tips.
Okay. I love that. I love that. Yeah. And that is so true, because because I don't, you know, release very often. And so every time I go to publish a book, it's like, I've never done it before. And you know, exactly. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh. And things have changed and, you know, so. And I like what you said about, you know, selling direct and all of that. You know, because if you're in KU, you know, we've had the drop in payout and even if you're not in KU, even if you're wide, it's just things are so competitive right now that it's hard to be seen. So, you know, we're like, oh, we need a new thing. We need that new thing. Well, selling direct and like Kickstarter are those new things, but they just require so much of your focus and time that sometimes it's just not a good idea to jump into them. And we need to know that and know why we're not jumping into it right now, you know,
exactly.
Maybe later we'll do something. Yeah. What do you wish you'd known about time management and managing yours? Did you learn things about yourself and other people when you started trying to manage your time better?
Yeah. Like I said, I worked with that executive function coach and she really helped me, you know, manage what I was doing and understanding how much time things took. So that was another thing that I learned was time tracking.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there was a study that said most people don't know how much a task takes.
Right.
Yeah. I know I suffer from that with, you know,
my ADHD. Always underestimate.
Yeah.
How long
exactly.
Take. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she had said, literally set a stopwatch on your phone when you start to look at emails at work or do invoicing at work and write down, you know, I did it like two or three times and then take an average. And I noticed in my day, I had these huge blocks of time that were suddenly open because I was able to say, okay, it takes me 20 minutes to do emails in the morning. So I spent 20 minutes doing that email instead of email. And then like I'm in invoicing and the email pops up. I go back to my email because it's the change in focus is really detrimental to time management. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about like, let's do everything really quick so we can stuff more in our day. It's more of like streamlining things so that you can do the things you want to be doing or take a break. Like working from home, especially for me, sometimes I wouldn't eat all day because it's like, I have to do everything. But now, you know, that's not great. It's not great. It's not great to not take a break. So in terms of what I wish I knew time tracking a little sooner. So then I could really just chill out.
Yeah. Well, and it cuts down on stress too. I mean, you just are not, you know, you're getting your things done. You're letting go of the things you don't, that don't have to be done. And you know how much time it's going to take you, you know, I think that's where a lot of people get, it's the tyranny of the urgent. You know, the thing that has to be done right now. And then we drop everything else and then we have to go back to it. And it's just this cycle. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the perfect example of like overestimating how much you can get done. I have two sticky notes on my desk and they both had a list on them like this. And I was like, this is what I need to do on Monday. I wrote these down. So today's Thursday. And I still have things on these sticky notes that like, basically I've learned if I make a list like this, it's probably going to be the week's to-do list, not Mondays. And it's just our minds. We're not good at being realistic with ourselves about what we need to do. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's talk about parenting and how that impacts creative life and any tips you have for writing with small, especially small kids, because that's a different stage when you have little kids.
Yeah, because the schedules are always changing. There's a lot more unexpected things, especially when they start to go to school or daycare. There's a lot more illnesses. you know, when it comes to, I live in, you know, the Northeast, so we have snow days and, you know, weather and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to parenting, my biggest thing, and adaptability is really low on my strengths, but is to be adaptable. And the way that I do that is when I was feeling particularly frustrated a few years ago, I had the idea to create multiple schedules. So it was my ideal schedule, and not like the 5 years from ideal schedule, it was like the realistic ideal schedule. And then it's like, here's an unexpected half day. What does my schedule look like then? What does it look like when there's a sick day? Because now it's like, if it's a snow day, you know, usually you play outside and then there's like TV time or whatever. But if it's a sick day, you know, you're usually, you know, with your child if they're particularly young. So being flexible and adaptable, also asking for help. That was a really big thing for me. I never asked for help because, like I said, quote unquote, that made me not a, you know, good mom or a good wife. I've since let go of that mentality. So, asking for help is definitely important as well. And then, you know, taking care of yourself, because I, my previous day job, I had to be up super early in the morning. So for a while, I even do it now from 5 to 7 is like sort of my author time before my day job. And taking that time, whether it's 5 to 7 in the morning, if it's 7 to 10 at night, or whenever, you know, you can fit it in. If you're able to, once you've taken care of yourself, you make sure you're getting enough sleep, you know, exercise, things like that. Try to take time for yourself. It could be a half hour. It could be an hour, a couple days a week, every day, whatever you can fit in. And that's a little bit refreshing too, to have that focus time, because as parents, typically when our kids are around, it's not very easy to be focused on anything but what they're doing or what they want to do. So yeah, I would say those are like my top three.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I love your, like almost like template. I've heard them called like a day template, where like today is, you know, not going to plan, or like I lost internet, so I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like what can I do, you know, when these crazy things happen, instead of, because I'm low adaptability too, because like I really like my schedule. And if it gets thrown off, I'm like, ugh. Frustrated and in mourning at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that can be paralyzing too. If you're like, what do I do? That's why I sort of like, it, you know, I don't pull it up. I don't have a physical one anymore, but like, I know my kid wakes up coughing or with a fever. Okay. What does the day look like? And that sort of like gets rid of that frustration. Obviously, I see him frustrated a little bit because I had stuff to do or whatever, but
yeah,
I know that this is just a season in life.
Right.
And so we got to do what we got to do.
Right.
Very true.
And as two people who are empty nesters, I'm sure Sarah would agree with me. You know, you look back and you go, you almost, those years do pass by so fast. And I do like think, oh, I kind of wish I had taken a little more time to do this with them, you know, not worried about that. I mean, you know, you do your best and you do what you can, but you know, those years do pass very, very fast, and you don't want to miss them and not enjoy them and not, you know, be appreciative of them because you're frustrated about something else. So if you know you have a plan, then I would assume that that makes it so much easier. Well, how do you, like, we hear a lot about mom guilt and all of that. And so how do you handle, or how do you advise people handling the guilt of when your schedule gets thrown off, or if you do have a deadline, or, you know, I mean, and you have to adjust, and like, what's the biggest, I guess, what are the biggest challenges in that area? And how do you, how do you suggest we handle that and do better, I guess?
Yeah. I would say the biggest pillars for me in that regard are boundaries and communication. So I sort of touched on communication before, where it's like, asking, you know, your partner or your children if they're old enough to help out. But I'm a big, again, therapy. I'm a big proponent of boundaries. So, you know, giving yourself that time and communicating that to your family and really sticking with it. So, you know, I say, okay, I'm going to work on my book for, you know, 2 hours on Saturday. I asked my husband, you know, this is what I'm doing. I would appreciate, you know, the time and you can go do whatever with our daughter. So outlining that in a respectful way is super helpful. And that's something that I never used to do. I used to let people walk all over me, to be honest, and then just feel frustrated and upset. So that's like, that can be a challenge when it's like, you know, when you allow people to do that to you. And it's not your fault. It's just sometimes it's how we were raised. So yeah, I would say setting boundaries, being very communicative with your family and those around you. And also you can allow family in as well, which is something that I didn't do for a while. I would never talk about my books. It was just, oh, I was an artist. I had to always be in my head. Like, no one would. And while I, you know, I write thrillers, so I don't really go into detail with my kid, but, you know, I do have times where I'm like, okay, I need to do this for a little bit, like come sit next to me and draw or do something else creative. And then talking to my husband about my books and like things that I'm doing with publishing. It's really helpful, you know, instead of, you know, I had this conversation with my daughter once and she's like, well, all you do is sit at the computer and do nothing. And it's like, okay, well, I'm sure that's what you see, but you know, I'm actually doing something. Yeah. So just letting them into our lives a little bit is super helpful.
And I think you meant artiste, not artist. Yes. You were an artiste.
Yes, I'm an artiste. Yes.
Yeah, I think that that's really wise. And I even found with my older, you know, because when I started writing, my youngest was still in high school. And she, you know, I just letting her know, like, this is what I'm doing. I mean, I think she did think I just sort of sat there and stared at the computer screen. And then when I did publish, I had my book report on and, you know, it used to, I don't know if it still does or not, because I turned it off, but it made that cha-ching noise, you know, every time you sold a book. And she would go, she would yell from the other room, "Woohoo! We get to buy something." And I was like, no, we don't. Like, do you understand what goes into selling this one? But, you know, and so just letting her know that, it really did kind of help her understand what I did, but a little bit better, you know, than, and she was older, you know, so it's it doesn't really matter how old they are. They have a misconception of what you do, period.
Whatever your job is. Exactly. But I do get messages from my kids now, because I have done that. Like, I talk about what I'm researching or writing, you know, like when the kids were younger, we'd talk about, you know, what we did during the day. And so, you know, since I write mysteries, I'd be like, well, I was researching this poison, blah, 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 blah. And so now every once in a while, my kids will send me a text and they'll say, wow, did you see this news article? This is like how this person got away with murder for, you know, 20 years or whatever. Or now they're like, you know, oh, this is a funny article from my work. So like, it's like, it helps you just connect and let them into your world a little bit. And then they'll, you know, absolutely. So it's very cool. Well, so we head down to talk about systems a little bit. So we've already done that. So is there anything else you would want to mention about systems or things that would help authors in that area? Any additional information to share on that? Or do you feel like we've already kind of covered the basics?
No, I can't. I mean, I could talk about systems for days. I love it. Well, it's because it helps me. It helps me in general. Yeah, I mean, I would say publishing systems, they tend to be pretty straightforward. I would just recommend that if you are interested in creating systems, sort of start where you are. You know, if you're about to publish a book, you know, really write down all the steps, include time tracking as well, because that's super helpful. Also too, within the program, I talk about life systems. So, you know, it's a little different, not necessarily step by step, but it can be if you like. So like I have a house management binder, which was super helpful when I went, me and my husband went on a vacation earlier this year. We haven't been on vacation in like 13 years. So this was great. So setting up sort of, when I think of systems, I think of like downloading my brain. Mm-hmm. So if something happened to me or I wasn't available, like my life would be able to run without my presence. So that is something that I strive to do constantly. I know a lot of people are like, they want to be the one person to go to for everything, but that's definitely a stressor. And our mind is like a terrible, you know, filing cabinet. So, you know, getting it all down is super important. So I would say, you know, if you're feeling a particular way about something, if you feel frustrated, sometimes that means like your system is off and it needs to be updated. So I'd say like, listen to your gut and download your brain, if I can put it into one.
Yeah. I love that.
I think that's really smart, because like usually when you start out, you don't have the money, but you have time. And so you're doing everything yourself. But then as your business grows, you want to start handing things off. And if you've already created your system for you, you can just say, here you go. And so I've spent a lot of time these last couple of years, like creating my list of this is how I do this, so I can give it to somebody else. And if you've already done that, then it's just going to save you time later when you're ready to let other people in.
Yeah, that's that delegation too. And also, you know, when you're looking at systems, there are ways, or if you're thinking about like a workflow specifically, and you don't like to do something, that's something you can either automate or delegate. And then you're just taking it off your plate and making things a little easier on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Well, I have another question. Sarah and I are fortunate that we do not have this issue, but I know a lot of authors in the community do have this issue when you have a reluctant partner, a partner who really isn't on board or doesn't understand what you do or understand why you're doing it. Do you have any suggestions about that? I mean, I'm sure open communication, but sometimes that's not like, if that was the issue, then that would have already, I mean, if that was the solution for a lot of people, that would have already been taken care of.
They've already tried that probably.
Yeah, they've already tried that. Yeah. So do you have any suggestions about that?
I would say that if the communication, and I'm not a therapist or anything like that, like if someone
disclaimer,
needs a therapist, I highly recommend, you know, getting a therapist if your partner isn't like me listening to you at all. but I would say, you know, if you're in a season of life where, you know, it is your primary responsibility to watch your children. And that's, you know, sort of the agreement you have with your partner. Definitely take a look at your time, be very realistic, and you may need to push things off to the future. So I would say, you know, look at your values. What do you value right now? You know, say your kids are under school age. Okay. So you have to take care of them during the day, and put things off a little later. One thing too, is if you're able to, if you have people in your area, I always love like mom play dates where we like let the kids play and you can work, you know, bring your laptop, or whatever. So I would say reaching out to others in your community. In my city there, we have a lot of library programs where the kids are doing something for 45 minutes to an hour. Look into programs like that. So I just say like, look outside your circle a little bit if possible and get a little creative with your time and just know that this will pass.
It will pass. It's not forever.
But you know, you have to determine what's the most important thing. And typically that's your children and your family.
And you kind of have to let go of that. Like, I must do everything right now. Like, if I don't get this book out, like this year, I'm going to be behind. You kind of have to let that go and just trust that there will be opportunities in the future. And there will be, It's like we have to like let go of the I must do everything this year. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, if you, oh, go ahead, Sarah.
No, you're up.
Well, it's me. It's me. Because I threw in an extra question. So if you had to start over today, what would you do differently?
I had to start over. I would probably set up most of my systems up front.
Yeah.
You know, as I was sort of going through the publishing process, like even when I was with my trad publisher, I would definitely, that would have taken a lot of stress away.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like mind fog, just by holding everything in.
Yes,
I would have downloaded brain my fog. Brain earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's great. I love that answer because that is the big thing. You know, I mean, I wish I had done that too. Like I remember setting up my first automation. I was sitting right here and it was late at night and I was setting it up and I remember thinking, I should probably write this down. Did I? No. Oh, I have to go back and look every time. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a while to figure out those things we're going to need again sometimes. Yeah.
Well, you sort of think, well, I'm probably never doing this again, but you know, then it happens. Then
the writing bug bites, then you're doing it a lot. Yeah.
But I do love this because it is easy in what we do to lose focus on what is important because there is so much noise in the community and in publishing and it's the, you know, like it's gotta be, you know, you're going to miss out. Like this is the big opportunity. You're going to miss out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can say, and I haven't been doing this as long as as Sarah has, but I've seen a lot of big opportunities come and go, you know, as far as, and there's always another one, you know, there's always another something. So, but you only get one chance with your kids. You only get one chance with your relationships. And I mean, as far as, you know, really making them the priority. And I can also say being older that there's nothing more important. I mean, there's just nothing more important than that. Mm-hmm. And if you want, I mean, again, if someone is in a place in life where they don't have relationships and they don't want to have kids, that's totally fine. But if you are in that situation, then really knowing how to navigate this with as little stress as possible, because there's always going to be stress. I think this is just fabulous. I love that you've done this for authors. I just think it's a great resource.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's really needed because it's a very stressful time, especially when you have little kids, you know, trying to just juggle everything and figure out all the publishing stuff. So I think it's really helpful. So on that note, tell people where they can find out more about you and, you know, your new, all your membership and everything you have.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm on YouTube as Caitlin Duncan's Writing Life. My website is CaitlinDuncan.com. And if you're interested in the From Chaos to Control method, it's at FromChaosToControl.com. The two is the number two.
Okay.
Awesome.
We'll have all those links. Yeah.
Yes. That's wonderful. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks to everybody for listening. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do that at wishidknownforwriters.com/support. And thanks to Alexa Larberg for editing and producing the podcast and to Adriel Wiggins for doing the admin. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.